welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Howard Cross at Howard Cross 87 at Giants WFAN. And if you want to hit us up on Twitter, you could also go to hashtag Giants Chat to participate in the program. And of course, there's the old fashioned way. You can dial up the telephone at 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. We'll be here for the next hour to talk about the Giants wild card game on Sunday at Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers. Howard, as we start things off, the Giants will be practicing outside today. They were in the field house yesterday, but they will be outside today. JPP, who remains out indefinitely with the core muscle injury to his groin area, he was at practice yesterday with his stocking cap on and his sweats and his warm-ups, being with the guys, and his coach McAdoo said he is still a big part of this team. Whether or not he can play in the game, we want him here.
Oh, yeah. JPP is like one of the team leaders. They love him, even though he may not seem like it when you do interviews with him and stuff. Very vocal guy. Guys look up to him. He's been through the fire, got the ring already. You know, not just Eli, but he had the ring already. And he played a big part in those games. So it means something to them when JPP's there watching practice. He's kind of like that. The coach and waiting kind of moment. He does a good job.
Looking at the Giants injury report following yesterday's practice, limited participation, Jarrell Adams with a shoulder, not Burhaid, the concussion protocol. Janoris Jenkins with the sore back. We did see him play with the back in Washington last weekend. Owo Digizua nursing a hamstring was also limited. And Corey Sensabaugh with an ankle was limited as well. But the Giants did have one of their injured guys return to full practice. That was right tackle Bobby Hart, who had suffered a forearm injury last Saturday and did not play against the Redskins.
Yeah, when you see a guy come in and play pretty good at your spot, you get back on the field.
Marshall Newhouse held down the fort, had one penalty, which did cost the Giants some yardage, but did okay against the Redskins.
Yeah. Oh, that feels pretty good.
Well, let me ask you this. It was Newhouse's injury that allowed Bobby Hart the opportunity to seize the job earlier this season.
Yep.
And now Hart got nicked up, and Newhouse played well. So where would you go if you were the coach?
You have to kind of go back to Bobby Hart. They kind of want the younger something, building with something going forward. He's been pretty consistent, you know. Hasn't been great, but he's been pretty consistent. If they feel like Newhouse is a better matchup, then Bobby Hart would be, you know, kind of like Newhouse was. He'd be coming in sparingly. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be, you know, you go with the guy who's been your hot hand that kind of got you there so far. But they might – if it were me and I was a coach, it'd be week to week and I'd know who my matchups were. I'd be playing chess the entire time.
You know what's funny? The Giants ran for 160 yards, a season high last week against the Redskins, and they didn't use a jumbo three tight end offensive lineman package that we have talked about. And the kind of thing that could help a power running game. They didn't need to use it against the Redskins. Would you see some of that potentially against the Packers?
No, I think you go with what's working. I think the jumbo package, I think what people kind of got the jumbo package is you kind of feel like the extra tackle at the tight end position will be able to help you push guys around and get guys going. What the jumbo package usually does is alerts the defense that, hey, look, we are running the ball. Everybody step up. Get closer to the line so that we can make a play. So the big joke I've made with you, Paul, all year is that, you know, back in the good old days at Alabama, we used to try to get the unblocked man
right
as far away from the play as possible. When you have a jumbo package, that guy slides in closer so he can be a part of the play.
All right, folks, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. The Giants are heading out to the practice field momentarily to continue their preparations for the wild card game against the Green Bay Packers. And now that means it's time to take your phone calls. Who is first on the line? No, we don't have. Oh, that's why the screen's blank, Howard.
That's probably why we don't have.
That's a bad idea for me to be going to the phones.
I was thinking that when I was looking at the screen, but I thought it was something else. I just didn't see it.
I thought maybe I just didn't refresh it in time. let me get a look here and see if we have anything on Twitter that might be useful. And someone is telling us the app is not working. I don't know about that, but hopefully it will be fixing itself momentarily. For those of you who have been watching us on Twitter, please go over to Giants.com and get a look at the rest of the program there on the regular internet site. And hopefully you enjoy the program.
All
right. We have here a gentleman, I am Will Ruiz, wants to know what is the Giants' biggest problem on offense. He offers up four options.
Okay.
He says Coach McAdoo's plays, the offensive line, Eli Manning's inconsistencies, or all of the above.
I think that you know, going into the playoffs, I don't think we have those kind of problems, so to speak, and not in a mean way or anything like that. I think you go in looking at all the positives and you try to build on them. What I said last week, going into the Redskin game, no matter if you win or lose, you want to carry some positives into the game. What happened? They go in and they run the ball pretty strong. They don't have turnovers. They get a little more consistent play out of everyone along the line of scrimmage. You take all these positives into the game. When guys are saying, what's your biggest fault offensively going into the game, then you're looking for something to be wrong. I mean, the faults are the same faults they've had all year long. It's just, if you don't turn the ball over, you got a better chance to win. If you don't drop passes, you got a better chance to win. If you stay on your blocks longer, you got a better chance to win. They didn't change. They're not a different group. It's just it's late in the season, and I think they're moving in that direction.
We have another comment here. Matt DeSantis wants to know what kind of contract you think Odell Beckham will command next offseason. Well, a couple of things here. First of all, that's something that's so far ahead of the radar that I don't even think we should waste time on it. But I will just say to you, as a matter of fact, Odell is signed through next season, and then after there's a club option, and then after that they could always throw the franchise tag on him. So I don't think you have to worry about that for a while.
I don't do signings. I don't get to make those choices. So
no, neither do I.
Yeah. I think he should. You know, if we're lucky and you know, very very blessed, he'll stay as healthy as possible. He'll continue to make a lot of plays. He'll continue to be number one or two in receiving every year, despite you know what goes on. I mean, he's a young guy. His best, I hope, is yet to come.
He has a second question for us, Howard. He wants to know if Paul Perkins is ready to take the full load.
I think that the way that the offense kind of lays out, I think he takes the full load. I think if they run 22 plays or run the ball 30 times, he gets about 20 carries. That's pretty much the load.
I mean, you know, truth of the matter is, in the game in Washington, he was the lead back.
He was, but it's not – I understand what everybody's saying about the load. I'm telling everybody that the days of the Emmitt Smiths to Barry Sanders running every down, and they come out for maybe a play while somebody comes in and spells them, it's almost gone. I mean, even Ezekiel Elliott plays in the game, and when he has a decent play, he's out of the game for a few plays, but they got another first-round guy to come in right behind him. So it's just, you know, Adrian Peterson would be the closest guy to the guy who would be in there all the time. And you can see what happens when you don't have good blocking. Even AP can't get it going. So I think he's the guy who's going to be the lead back. I think he gives a little more burst. He's patient. He's a patient runner. He's allowing some blocks to get set up. And he's able to set some blocks up with his style of running.
Our phone number is 201-939-4513. M. Hearn on the internet wants to know, just like Ernie said, and I'm sure he means Ernie Accorsi, in 2007 before the Super Bowl, protect Eli and pressure the quarterback and you have a chance to win. So protect Eli.
Yes, protect Eli. I think the biggest chance to win, even though you're protecting Eli, is Eli can't have the random errant pass. If you don't turn the ball over, I think that with the way the defense is playing, if you don't turn the ball over, you stand the greatest chance of beating almost anybody in the league.
201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Let's see if we have some new ones on here. Let's see here. Apparently, we're still having some trouble with the app. The fans are chiming in on Twitter. Is it working now? It is working now, so says Dave Dominic, our producer. So that's good news. Hopefully, you folks can get in. Quickly, just to recap, the biggest news that came out of yesterday's practice is that right tackle Bobby Hart was in full. He was upgraded after suffering a forearm injury last Saturday and missing the Washington game. Marshall Newhouse got the start. Howard Cross says that Bobby Hart should go back in there, and we will see what Coach McAdoo says because, after all, he makes the final decision.
I think he's going to move Bobby Hart back in there. I think, again, like we've been saying all year, you try to get the player that you feel is going to do the best. If there was a you know, I don't know, a level playing field or something, and they were both about the same player, Bobby Hart gets in. If Bobby Hart's better, Bobby Hart gets in. The only way for Bobby Hart not to get in is that Newhouse was so much better that they were like, okay, well, this, he's playing lights out right now. Mm-hmm. We've got to put him in. But only one game, small sample.
201-939-4513 is our phone number. Andrew Philbin on the Twitter says, if the Giants score 23 points a game for the next four games, they are Super Bowl champs.
Yes and no. Yes and no. You can score 23 points a game, but if you give up turnovers and give the ball to the other team, they can score 24 or 30-something. You want to make sure you play clean games. In the playoffs, the premium on clean games is I can't explain it. You've seen games played where a turnover can really change the flow of the game. In this particular series of games in the playoffs, teams feast on turnovers. You turn the ball over, it could turn the whole momentum of the game, and that momentum could like take you out of the game. Playing against a team with a great quarterback who's hot right now, you want to make sure that you pressure him, try to keep him in the pocket. And if he throws it up in the air, if it's an air throw, you need to get the ball.
One more Twitter comment, Howard. Then we do have phone calls that are now coming in at 201-939-4513. Chris Fuller wants to know, am I crazy? The Giants know how good their D is, so they've been hiding some of the creative and explosive plays on the offense for the playoffs.
Yeah. Don't I wish. I think it is what it is right now. I think, you know, they're starting to pick it up a little bit in the run game. Every team kind of does it. The war of attrition is on. We're going to go play a Packers team who are on third and fourth string DBs. So,
indeed,
it's just the war of attrition. You don't know how long your body's going to hold up and be able to play, but if you can get it done, you get it done.
All right, let's go to the phone calls. Kelvin from Matawan, New Jersey, is first on today's show. Hello.
Hey, Kevin.
How you doing, Paul?
Hi.
Hope you had a happy New Year. Just wanted
you
to
too,
touch
sir.
On a few things.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. First of all, I want to just give a big shout-out to Matawan Football, Joe Martucci doing a fantastic job, Jared Allison, Frankie Allison, Charlie Rogers.
Okay.
I just wanted to talk about a few pointers today we got with the team. Basically headlining, you know, Road to Giants Super Bowl. I don't know if you remember last time when we spoke about the team. I picked Green Bay to match up with the Giants. So this week we got Green Bay with the Giants, wild card in the Tundra. Should be an exciting game. Now, in this league, I do want to say teams with 2-3 rings, but when you get teams with 4, maybe 5, potential to win 5 rings, now you're starting to talk about an organization of a franchise. Nothing to take away from the 4 rings that the Giants do have. But now we are seeing something spectacular. If this group was to stay healthy, these are potential things that you have to look at. And I'm from a family, you know, that I have faith in genetics. You know, I have faith in Eli. I love seeing him play. He's a Manning. You know, we all, as Americans, you know, when we take that football pride and say, okay, we see one father do it, then we see the next son do it, we want to see them all do it. We want to see them succeed. I absolutely want to see Eli succeed in the playoffs. Fantastic job with Spags and secondary coaching. Everybody doing a fantastic job over there. So what are we looking for from the offense, you know, going into this week, having a little bit more repetition from the Redskins game, Paul?
Well, you know, I believe that the balance that this team seems to have achieved over the last month or so of the season, except for that 63 pass attempt game in Philadelphia, Howard, is very good for this team to do going into the playoffs, because I don't think you want Eli throwing the ball 40, 45 times a game in the postseason. That's not going to help your chances to win, right, Howard?
I don't think it will. I think the thing that you're going to see is they're going to try to, you know, go in what they build on. I thought they built on the running game in the last few weeks. It's come along a long way. Running game travels well. Eli will be able to – Beckham will have a lot more opportunities and the other receivers, because once you run the ball – the safeties have to get nosy to try to get up in there to slow that run down. The run beats your defense up bad. It takes a toll on your defense. You're getting pushed around by the blocker. Then the ball carrier comes in, and he's like a, you know, rolling ball of butcher knives. He's running as hard as he can. And then you're getting up off the ground, and you're like, oh, my God, somebody stop him. And if they get a first down, and start that whole process over again, it's a meat grind. It's tough on the body.
Right.
So, you know, with them establishing some of that going forward should be very interesting.
Every offensive lineman I've ever talked to said it's easier to run block, and every defensive lineman I've ever talked to said you don't want to be worn down by that.
Well, it's easier to run block because you're going forward. Mm-hmm. You're really – the ball is snapped and all that weight that you have, you can roll it out and you don't have to worry about it. When it makes contact with somebody, it's just like moving cars. But when you're playing pass and you're doing pass defense, you really have to get your balance. You can't fall out of your stance too quick going backwards. It requires a lot of balance. If someone catches you while your foot's in the air and you're going backwards, you don't have the same kind of balance and leverage as you do when you're stepping and stomping going forward. When you're sliding back and that foot's in the air and they hit you, you know, Reggie White used to make money on catching a guy with his foot in the air and slapping him, and they used to call it the hump move and humping him to the outside. So it's a lot to it. So I think that everybody wants to do the run game.
And just remember something.
Right.
The Packers pass rush. All right, thank you, Calvin. The Packers pass rush primarily comes from Nick Perry, mm-hmm. a blitzing outside linebacker, and Julius Peppers, who at this point in his career is an undersized defensive end who's playing some linebacker according to the way they're naming their scheme. Mm-hmm. If you pound and pound and pound and run at those guys and beat them up in the run game, it will slow down their pass rush.
Yeah, if you know, you're coming around and the way Perkins is able to bounce the ball a little bit, he bounces it to the edge. Those guys are in chase position. When the safety or the corner comes up, it becomes just it's a big pile of people. And you get a lot of friendly fire hits as well because those mm-hmm. guys are coming up.
That's true.
They have to come up. You're chasing. You're in a bad position because you're running full speed one way. They're running full speed the other way. You're hoping that you get to the back before the crash starts to happen because you can't slow down usually. So it's an interesting thing for defenses. That's why they like the pass rush because you're pass rushing, you're slapping, you're grabbing, you're moving. If you're lucky, it ends in a hit. You know what I'm saying? If you're unlucky, you're just tired of running and slapping and moving your hands and stuff. So it's just a big difference.
Jeff from Brooklyn, you're next on the show. Hello.
How you guys doing? Happy New Year.
You
Happy
too.
New Year.
I said something to the person that answered the phone, and they kind of laughed at me, but I wanted to know what you guys thought. What do you think about inserting Dwayne Harris as our tight end for this game?
Well, you're joking, right?
I mean,
I think it would be a good fit. He can go up the seam. You know he can run routes, and is he undersized? Do you think that you can't use him, or defect?
He's one of the toughest people that anyone's ever seen, but he is not the biggest person. So putting him in against, and if he's in there tight, because they do put him in tight in a lot of run situations, if he's tight enough to the line that a D lineman or a linebacker can get to him, they want to get to him. It's like if you're blocking and you're a lineman or a tight end,
they'll be fighting each other to go to his side.
If there's a cornerback or a safety walking down in front of you, you look up, you're like, Cole snapped the ball. He's right here. I got him. Like it's just one of those things. Like
you don't want to do that.
You don't want to chase little guys around all the time. And if you can get them really close, where you can get your hands on them, you get like a plus for the hit. You get a plus for pushing it back. You get a plus for knocking him into the pile. You get all these pluses on your grade and your card. He would be great running the seam and doing all that stuff, but you can get that out of him just by putting him in the slot. He doesn't have to be the guy that's at the tight end position.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
All right. That's a great call.
Wow. We go to Paul from Las Vegas. Hello.
Wait a minute. This ain't no gambling question, right, Paul?
No, it's not. He says he wants to talk about defense.
No, this sounds like a gambling question.
No.
All right,
yeah,
Paul.
No. Here's the deal.
I'd bet on this defense, though.
Listen, I have been – I'm in my 70s, so I've been like, a supporter, a fan, a lunatic, a fanatic, a sucker, whatever you call me for the Giants since 1945.
Oh, nice.
Excellent.
And here's the deal. I got two things. This is one of the worst kind of Giant team to root for, okay? You follow me? They got the offense is awful. Every time they get on the field, you're hoping a defensive guy falls down mm-hmm. or something. And then when the defense gets on the field, You're saying, can they really be this great? Can they keep doing this? So it's tough on an old guy like me, okay?
Okay.
Here's the second point, okay? We talk about Eli in the playoffs. I love him. I mean, he's won two Super Bowls. Both were like miracles, right?
Yep.
He's been in this the playoffs 5 times, 4 in a row. The first time when he went up against Carolina, he had 3 interceptions and a fumble, I believe. Okay.
Yep. Keep going.
He couldn't even get the team close to scoring a field goal.
They were overmatched that day.
One, mm-hmm. He played the Eagles, and the Eagles beat him 23-20. Okay. The one good thing he did take him down to tie the game. Okay. And then with something like 1:52, the Eagles went down and Akers kicked a long field goal, right?
Right.
Okay.
And I think that he didn't throw an interception. Then he put on that miracle. Where it comes from, I don't know. But God bless him. He you know, them 4 games, he was great.
He did have one pick in that Philly game, by the way.
Then they played Philadelphia the next game. Mm-hmm. The next time they got in the playoffs, first game. And the score was like 24-10. And the Giants didn't score a touchdown till like, you know, 1 minute, 2 minutes to go in the game. So they were behind like 20-3. And he threw 2 interceptions,
yeah,
okay?
But there was no Burris at the end of that season. That was a big deal.
Well, there's no Burris at this end of the season either, is there? You know, that's one of the things they lack is that tall, you know, end to get in there like Keen Nix. But, you know, I mean, like I said, since 1945, so I have no option but to sweat this out. And if this defense comes through, well, they could be maybe the greatest defense the Giants ever had because I gave up the offense after about 10 weeks because, you know, this kid Odell Beckham, it's Manning to Beckham, Manning to Beckham. And he's an immature kid, you know.
Okay.
He's not a mature player yet. He's not a winner. He's still a loser. And until he gets his act together, you know, if he does, which it's possible because he's just a kid. Anyway, you know, make some comments to what I gave you guys. That's all.
Thank you. Appreciate the phone call.
All right.
Take care, Paul.
First off, let's do this. So Paul's been watching the Giants since 1945. So he got some really, really bad teams, some really, really bad Giant stuff in his time. And he had some really bright spots.
Yes.
He has 4 Super Bowl wins.
Yes.
And he figures that
– 5 trips.
He figures this is his worst kind of team because one side of the ball isn't playing all that well. And he's saying that Eli, over his history, has not been a good quarterback, but, you know – somehow, some way, they've won games. He's had some miracles. That's how he says it.
Okay.
Then you said that there was no burst. He goes, "There's no burst now," and you didn't. Thank God you didn't jump in and say we have an Odell because he had something for Odell too. He said that Odell was an immature kid who is a loser.
That's, I did hear that.
He did say that, right?
I did hear that.
So I'm gonna answer all your questions at the same time. You probably should stop watching the Giants, and this is why. You have a kid in Odell Beckham that fans, if you could see him on a day-to-day basis and see his interaction with kids and how he goes out of his way to take care of him, do things, change his attitude and stuff to make himself more presentable to people who walk around with that ugly blonde hair like his. I'm going to grow my hair back just so I can try that. I want to see what I look like. I got a big head. That'd be a lot of fun. one time. Then you just got so many things. Every year is a different year. You know, I would love for this to be the Giants, kind of the same kind of mojo as 2007 or 2011. I just think it is kind of the same kind of mojo. He's probably playing with a deck and making these comments off of, you know, the pundits on TV who are kind of, you know, reliving that moment and saying that's what's happening. But every year is a different year. I'd be very interested to see what happens when the Giants get to Lambeau Field. I think they do have a good defense. The way I look at it right now, you can put Jack Rabbit on Jordy Nelson. You can put Apple on a guy.
Cobb.
And you can put Camardi on somebody. I think you got them locked down. Mm-hmm. I think the problem the Giants will have is if those tight ends get really active in the middle of the field, the back out of the backfield not really worried about it because they come up and hit him pretty quickly. If they shut down the run game, that's what Snacks Harris is there for. All of a sudden, they're a predictable team. The only wild card in that, can you keep Aaron Rodgers kind of boxed in that pocket? You don't want to kill him and get after him and have him running out of the pocket because you got to chase him. Maybe chasing him may not be a bad thing. It may pull a calf again, but you just don't know. I enjoy watching games. I never know what's going to happen. I'm excited when they have good plays. I want them to make all the plays. Heck, I want to go to Houston to the Super Bowl to watch the Giants play, whoever was going to be on the other side. But first games first, let's go to Lambeau. Let's see how this works out. And every team except for maybe three would love an Odell Beckham. Maybe three. I don't think they'd give up Julio Jones. I don't think they would give up
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Do that.
But after that, it starts getting a little – I mean, the guy in
Cincinnati,
A.J. Green. And then it starts getting a little shaky.
Four guys are the elites. They're in the penthouse.
I mean, what about Dez Bryant? No, I'd take Odell over Dez.
So would I.
I mean, what about – no, I'd take him over a lot of guys in the league. It's the top five guys. He's one of the top five. And right now, he's the top of the top five.
I'm going to add one thing to what you just said, Howard.
Okay.
I understand fans are just passionate and emotional, and sometimes they can't. Sometimes they can't sift through the trees and really see what it is that's happening here.
Fans aren't always rational.
Not always. No.
You have any? You know any?
I'm just saying to Paul. Listen. It's been a heck of a run, and there are a bunch of franchises that have had so much less success than the Giants over your 75 years of rooting for the NFL that you'd be making a really, really bad mistake if you jumped off the bandwagon now.
He's also a Paul.
I know. I was waiting for Howard to come up with some funny remark in that regard.
He's another Paul.
201-939-4513. Paul Perkins is a Paul, too. Alan in Washington, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, fellas.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Happy New
you
Year.
Too.
Oh, man. It was a great game. I mean, for this past game, I was able to see it live. And
nice.
As a Giants fan, and walking out of that stadium with your head up in the sky, and everybody else wanting, to kill Kirk Cousins, was a great feeling for a Giants fan.
Okay,
poor Kirk Cousins, man.
Yeah, I mean,
poor Kirk Cousins. He had to make $28 million.
I was just going to say, I don't think he needs your sympathy.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have mixed feelings about Kirk Cousins. They kind of feel like Eli, he's great most of the time, but then he does have those moments where he throws that pick or that time where something goes bad. And
try to keep him out of the same sentence as Eli until he gets two Super Bowl MVPs, okay?
Again, remember we had the Paul, the Paul fandom earlier. Don't let the fandom come out right now. I think Kirk Cousins is a pretty good quarterback. I think that, like most quarterbacks, when things go a little bad, he gets a little desperate and starts trying to reach. If his reach isn't as long as he thinks, then things don't go well for him. Happens to a lot of quarterbacks.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I called in last week, and everybody was predicting who they wanted to see, who did they not want to see. And my prediction was I did not want to see the Packers just because of the way they've been playing and the fact that we would have to go to Lambeau. But it is what it is. We have to go there. We have to put our best foot forward. I know the running dynamic has changed now for them. They had Eddie Lacy that first game who ran all over us.
Thank you.
And
stop right there. One second. Stop right there. I'm going to let you finish. I do want to make mention of this, Howard, because to me, as great as the Packers' offense has been recently, big difference from that game in October when they beat the Giants is that Eddie Lacy is not there and their running game is just a shadow of what it once was. And the only addition they've added in terms of an addition-subtraction equation is that tight end Jared Cook is now available to them. If I'm the Giants, I'll take that trade. Eddie Lacy gave them fits.
Who was our running back in that game?
Well, the Giants didn't have a running back in that game. Bobby Rainey led the team in rushing.
Oh, so it was Bobby Rainey. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking Packers offense. I don't know how you got
defense,
there.
I think our defense is going to play a lot better than it did that first game. Given the dynamic that, you know, Eddie Lacy's not in the game, they can't rely on that run as much. It's going to be very cold in Lambeau. My biggest fear is when Aaron Rodgers gets loose. He has a way to get open and find guys in the nick of time to make a strike and make an, you know, last second type of play on a play that should have been, you know, done. How do you think we should go about covering Aaron Rodgers? And I'll take that off air. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's the old picket fence approach. You get your guys in the gaps. You set the edges with the defensive ends. You try to get a little pressure up the middle from the D tackles. Try to keep him throwing out of that well the entire time. Don't let him do a lot of rollouts and everything. If you play your position, don't do like, okay, I got him. I'm going to do the spin move to the inside. Then he's out on the edge and he's running. You got to be very, you know, unique and being very strong and perfect in discipline at your rush lanes. Stay in your lane. You'll have a better game against Rodgers. Not that Rodgers can't throw out of the pocket because he's got that incredible arm.
That's for sure.
But you want him to, like, throw on timing, not throw, like, when he wants to, like, running around, buying time. There was a play recently. He had 9 seconds to throw the ball.
8.7 against Detroit, and he threw a touchdown pass.
Yeah, well,
amazing.
If I have 8.7 seconds, I might be able to find somebody that's open. And
but he created the time on his own. That's the problem.
Whatever it is, if I have 8.7 seconds, mm-hmm. I'll be able to get the ball to him. So the big thing is stay in your lanes, keep him in his pocket, make sure that he's throwing kind of on time. And if he's off his time, make sure he stays in the pocket. That way you can get to him.
You know what troubles me even more about him, Howard? And I get the horizontal movement. I understand, you know, rolling out and the scrambling and everything else. I've seen Aaron Rodgers too many times, and one of the defensive backs was saying this the other day too. He can throw off balance or off his back foot and put as much zip on the ball as many quarterbacks can and still get it 30 yards downfield on a dime.
Yeah, but that, again,
that's tough.
That's all great and everything.
That's tough.
The rule to rushing the passer, keep them in the pocket really deep, make the pocket make the thing collapse on them, never let them go out to the right or the left. If you get two hits on them, two good hits on him, a sack and a hit, guess what? He starts seeing shadows.
Okay.
He starts hearing footsteps.
Well, look for it.
That's any quarterback in the league. Brady, as great as Brady is, you hit him a couple times, he's like, there's somebody.
We've seen him feel it.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that it's just they don't want to get hit. Hit Eli a couple times.
No doubt.
Shadows. Like that. I thought somebody was there. I could feel him. You ain't feeling anybody, dude. Settle down and keep throwing the ball. But that's what you got to do. Now, the playoffs are different. I'll tell you, the playoffs are different. You may have to hit him 3 or 4 times. You may have to hit him 5 times before he starts to see those shadows. But you got to get those hits on him. Aaron Rodgers' uniform can't be clean after this game.
201-939-4513. David from North Carolina is next on the program. Hello, David.
How's it going, guys?
Great.
Very good. Very good.
I wanted to just talk on a couple points. I mean, I love everybody talking about the, you know, the playoff Eli, and gosh knows I love those memories as well. Mm-hmm. But I think we've got to take a dose of reality here and step away and think that, you know, all of a sudden we're going to beat the Packers and Hakeem Nicks is going to, you know, Odell Beckham's going to have 200 yards receiving or 150 like maybe Hakeem Nicks, although he very well may, you know, have a huge game like Hakeem and Cruz and Mario Manningham had that wonderful day back in 2011. So I just don't see it. There's not been one passing offensive performance, maybe outside the Eagles game where he threw it 63 times, where we put up just a ton of yards. So what I would like to see in this playoff game, and I really don't even like bragging on the offensive line on what a great job they've been doing lately, because I feel like it's just finally doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, to me, it's almost embarrassing that all year they haven't been able to beat a six-man front. And you go back to Philadelphia where they play the wide nine, the running lanes are going to be even more open in a wide nine. So to me, they're finally just starting to do the basics, which is, you know, to be able to beat up on a front like that where the safeties are playing so deep. So what I would like to see is Eli play like the Detroit game. I thought that was maybe his finest performance of the year because he didn't force the issue. He took, you know, he played it smart. I mean, take a sack. You know, you go back to the Redskin game where he tried to throw that out to Sterling Shepard. I mean, Sterling Shepard saved what could have been a game-changing interception. And I know we didn't need that game, but that was a huge, huge play that probably should have been a pick six. So I would like to see Eli just take the sack. Stop throwing off the back foot when the pressure's in your face. And then if you are going to take a chance, hold the ball and try to get to that second and third read. I feel like that's the one criticism of this year that I would have liked to seen him do more of is, I know his offensive line's horrible, but with this defense being so good, hold it just a little bit. If you look back at the Pittsburgh game, that interception in the end zone that was going to Danelle, I thought that was a perfect example of how defenses are playing us, where they're going to give you Will Tye. They're going to give you Perkins or Jennings out of the backfield. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, out of four throws or three throws, you may miss him. You may throw it into the ground. You may throw it over his head. If you hit it, we're going to come up and tackle him for 4 yards, okay, or 3 yards. And then on the 1-2, Danelle and Pittsburgh, to me, they almost baited him. Hey, we're going to give you this wide-open tight end up the seam. Oh, guess what? We didn't. And so instead of just always taking that first option, getting it out quick, you know, every so often, hey, man, let's hold this ball for a second and let's see if Cruz can beat this man. Let's see if Shepard can get across the face of those linebackers, you know, on a deep post or something like that. And, you know, that's what I would like to see. This team isn't going to score 34 points Sunday.
David, the other day, Rashad Jennings said to me in the locker room when I was talking to him about what style of game he would be expecting at Lambeau, and he said, you know, the one thing that I want to make clear to everybody is that it's okay to punt sometimes because we've got a really, really good defense. And we think that we've got enough playmakers that it's okay to give up a possession and just punt the ball every once in a while. You don't need to score and move the ball downfield every time.
I forget what college coach said, that he wanted every possession, offensive possession, to end in a kick. Because if you have every possession end in a kick, your offense is playing well.
Right.
So it's either a punt or a field goal or an extra point.
Exactly.
That's all it needs to do. Don't give it to the other team. So I think that's going to be the focus of the game. As far as, you know, holding the ball, you hold it, you get sacked. If Eli would have taken more hits during the season, he may not be with us in the postseason.
Yeah.
So it's a put catch 22 thing. I've even said on this show and called for him, like, you know, you got to see that old fashioned, old school Eli's going to have to take some hits. He takes some hits, he'll make a few more plays, but what's he going to look like the following week? That body just doesn't bounce back at 36 like it did at 26.
Don't forget, every time he takes a really crushing hit on a sack, there's also potential for a forced fumble and a turnover, too.
Yeah.
That could happen also.
Especially if you're holding the ball and you're getting hit from the back.
And the ball's cold.
Yeah, well, beyond that, if you're getting hit from the back,
it gets slippery.
Because when they come around with both hands and pull down on you, that's what they're taught to do. They're trying to rake the ball out of your hands.
David, one other thing I just want to make sure you're aware. He did throw for over 400 yards against the Ravens earlier this year, so that was his season high.
Gotcha. Good point. Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing you can control instead of expecting, you know, some kind of huge offensive output is, you know, Eli, the last two playoff runs, has really been good, you know, where people can make the case that, you know, he's a little turnover prone. He has done a really good job the last two playoff runs protecting the ball.
Yes, he has. So let's hope he does it again.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Thank you. Outside of Eli's first career playoff appearance, that 2005 season when he had three picks and no touchdowns against Carolina, that would give him 10 postseason games, okay, with 17 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
Okay, that's not a bad record. Just gotta keep getting more opportunities in the playoffs. That's all it is.
All right, back to the calls. Marco from Connecticut is next on the line. Hello. Hi, Marco.
Hey,
how are you?
How are you today?
Very good.
Very good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So just want to talk a little strategy with you. I think offensively, you know, and the last two callers just made some great points that I was listening in on. What worries me about the offense, and just most notably Eli, I don't know if you could truly, I mean, you can make a comparison to the last or Eli's playoff record, but I mean, let's be mindful that he was in the playoffs 5 years ago, and his play has changed a bit. The offense is completely different, but I would hang my hat on that too if I knew it was going to get me a run like Eli has gotten the last two times he's been in the playoffs. But mm-hmm. I think so. Here's what I think with the offense first. I think they got to play a clean game and just get a little bit going in the run game. I mean, people that have been saying about the offense not being what it was last year or so, that is true. But if you're paying attention and you see this run game is coming and they are showing a dedication to wanting to run that ball. So if we can get those safeties just to come up just a little bit, and Perkins can just, I mean, every time Perkins gets a 6 or a 7 yard carry or Jennings can come in and get a first down, that's going to be huge because then it's going to come down to, can we cash in on the 2 to 3 chances that I think are going to be available in this game? But it's going to come off the run game. And then just defensively, Paul, I hear you about the Packers running game, but in this winning streak that they've been on, they're not disguising what they've been doing. It's Rodgers. He's going absolutely crazy.
That's true.
Montgomery's been like under the radar. He had one game that was just
Bears. He had over 160 yards, and that's it.
Yeah, but I mean it's Rodgers, and I heard him in an interview, and the reporter was asking him what's been the biggest difference between his first half of the year and now, and he's credited the bigger targets that the Packers now have on offense with this wide receiver, Allison, mm-hmm. and Jared Cook, as you mentioned earlier. So here's my question. I think a few callers asked before, how do we attack Rodgers? Can you see a game plan similar to what we did with the Cowboys? I know Dak Prescott's not in Rodgers. I mean, they're not in the same zip code, they're moving quarterbacks, and Rodgers, he doesn't mind throwing on the run. He doesn't mind sitting in the pocket. He doesn't mind if you give him 10 seconds. He could throw it. He could throw those three second West Coast offense precise throws. But I'm worried about if we could get to him with a 4-man rush. So I might be a little all over the place, but I'm just like, what is Spagnuolo? Is it similar to a Cowboys game plan? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think that speculating. I think if you can take away Dak's first read and then put a little pressure on him, it changes the game a little bit. In Aaron Rodgers' case, if you can take away his first read and then he gets to, like, move around a little bit, he just keeps buying time. He doesn't try to run and get first downs. He'll roll back against the protection and the rush just to get another – there are scramble rules everywhere. If I'm running an out route on the right side and Aaron Rodgers gets flushed to the right, either I'm running straight down the field now to run away from him, or I'm going back away from him across the ball to pull coverage. The guy who's on the far side of the field, he runs over. The short guys go deep. The deep guys come back. There's a lot of crisscrossing that's happening on the field, and there's scramble rules. And every time he scrambles to one side or the other, the routes break, and the players know where to go on the field and why. And it's easy for us to talk about. It's easy for us to see. But when you're covering a guy and you're running with him, you're trying to, you know, stay within reach of him, and all of a sudden he's doing something that's off the book, that's when you know, okay, it's scramble rule. But if you turn around to try to find where Rodgers is, you're going to lose the guy. So the ultimate thing for the Giants would be shut the run down completely. If you shut the run down completely, then if you have a safety that's close to the line, Rodgers got to know he's coming. And if he knows he's coming, then you're flushing him to a side, and you got to cover the receivers. I think they can do that. I think we have guys that can cover their best guys one on one. But you got to, you know, it's got to be a every time thing. It can't be a one time the guy breaks for 30 or 40 yards, it's got to be, I got him, I got him, I got him. If he catches the ball, he catches a five-yard pass, and you tackle him on the spot. So that's yeah. what they're working on. That's what they're hoping for. If they do that, I mean, a good pocket, keeping him in the pocket, and then the guys up the middle getting to him, that's what they're all hoping for. And if you saw in the last game, they blitzed. The sacks came from the secondary. Mm-hmm. And when the sacks are coming from the secondary, that's because they're blitzing. They're up there standing close to the line like they're in press coverage. And even though you're trying to split them out, a guy rolls off one of those slot guys, and the quarterback's not ready for him.
That's good stuff, Howard. Thank you for explaining that. I'm thinking, though, this defense, everyone's so excited about the defense that, like, they, you know, their confidence is soaring, and they want to get back on the field. They have so much confidence that they could ice this game out. But I'm telling you, with a team like this, the offense has to be able to, in the playoffs, the offense is going to have to be able to do a few different things to get some points on the board and not just leave it in the defense's hands. I think our defense is great. I think they're very good. I don't think they're as good as what the Broncos were last year. And last year, you had a team that offensively, they didn't have to do anything. I mean, Peyton just kind of managed the game, and the defense just wrecked other teams. I don't think our team is built that way, and nor should we have to be built that way with game breakers like Odell and Shepard. And Eli is not in the same position as his brother was last year, where he should have to go in there and manage the game. So I think the two sides of the ball here kind of have to meet somewhere and put together the best game plan they can. So right. I'm excited. I'm nervous, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks,
okay. Guys. No problem.
While we were taking that call, thank you very much for dialing us in. I was doing some number work here, Howard, on the rushing defense of the Packers over the last eight games and the Giants' rushing offense over the last eight games. Because we all know the Packers' secondary is dreadful.
Yep.
And so the question is, what about that defensive front, and how can they do in terms of stopping the Giants' rushing attack, which has been much maligned throughout the course of the year? Well, over the last eight games, and that's a significant body of work now, Howard. That's not one or two games. It's eight games.
Okay.
The Packers are giving up 114 yards on the ground over the last eight games. The Giants are rushing for 108 yards a game over the last eight games. So just to give you an idea of where that would be, the 108 yards a game, if the Giants had done that over the course of the season, that would put them right in about between 15 and 20. Kind of a little bit below the middle of the pack, just a tad under average. And I remember many, many years ago, Gil Brandt once said, and he's the godfather of the NFL, as everybody knows, godfather of personnel people. I love Gil Brandt. Mm-hmm. Gil Brandt once said, first 4 weeks of the regular season, you're still trying to figure out what you are. Even though the season has started, you're still trying to figure out a lot of things. After those first four games, then you become to truly establish your identity. You start to really zone in on what it is that you are and how good you can be, or for that matter, maybe not so good. But there's a lot of different tinkering things going on the first 4 weeks that don't really allow you to establish an identity. He may or may not be right with that, but I'll take it for what it's worth. So in my mind, you know what? I don't want to hear how the Giants are only averaging 85 yards a game or whatever their season total is, actually 88 yards a game, and they are 29th in the NFL. To me, that ranking doesn't mean anything. Into this game, it's more relevant that they're averaging 108 yards over the last eight games than they averaged 88 for the season.
That's true. That's true. I think, again, it's like what your rhythm is going into the playoffs is what's important. They built on a lot. Over the last few weeks, I think the Washington game itself, they put a lot of positives out there defensively, offensively. Even special teams looked a little bit better. Still need to get a little more protection in the punt return, but they look better.
All right, let's go back to the phone calls. Let's see who we got here. Is it Marco or is it Ty, David?
I think it's Ty.
It's going to be Ty. You had Marco still on the board. We'll take him out. Go ahead, Ty.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Hey, Ty.
All right. I like what you guys were just talking about. That's one of the topics that I wanted to touch on with the two of you guys today. The first one was, you know, just like I said, you guys were talking about running the football. You know, I'm going to use the 03 John Gruden approach, and I'm going to place a boulder in the middle of that locker room, and I'm going to tell those guys to pound that rock. I'm telling you, pound the rock continuously, continuously, continuously. Eli Manning should not have to throw the ball over 30 times in this game against Green Bay, honestly. If he has to, I have faith that he'll be able to get the job done because of how porous Green Bay's defense is. But you got to run the ball. You got to run the ball. This is the time. December has passed. You've established the run game, and now it's January to where the totality of your offense in the playoffs is predicated solely on the run game. And, you know, I think it was really established this past game against the Redskins. And what I wanted to say about the running game is one in particular. I know a lot of people have been giving a lot of flack to Ereck Flowers for being a little bit average or maybe even slightly below average in pass blocking. But if we can remember, the majority of the Giants' offensive yardage in terms of the running game was on the left side. They ran the ball on the left side for the majority of that game. I guarantee you, if you look at the stats, I can guarantee you the majority of those yards that Paul Perkins had, as well as Rashad Jennings, was on that left side. I'm not saying that he is an all-around good tackle. He's 22 years old. He has a lot of work to do.
Okay.
But I honestly believe that he's more of a mauler than he is a finesse blocker. And I think that, you know, he's going to need some more work getting his hands up in place when it's in terms of pass blocking. But if we can run behind that man the same way that we ran behind him against the Redskins, we can win that game, hands down.
I think the thing that's overstated or probably understated is that, you know, the Packers do have a pretty decent run defense. We keep talking about running the ball, and I hope that the Giants are able to run the ball, but their run defense is the strongest thing. And to me, it's like it's a no-brainer. Go out there and pressure them, move the ball down the field, score some points. If you get some more points on the board, then make Aaron Rodgers have to play chase the whole game. And then you start trying to grind it out and going after, but you really got to get the ball down the field. You got to get the ball in the end zone. You got to. We run into the red area. We had some red area woes of late. That's the one thing they could have done better at. But I think that's what you're going to have to do. I think that this game is going to come down to if the Giants cannot turn the ball over. If they can keep the ball in their possession, I think the defense will play well enough to keep, you know, Green Bay to like 14 points or whatever it may be.
I understand that back in October in that game, the Packers had the ball for 13 minutes in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. had 26 snaps. The Giants had 5.
Yep.
And for the game, the Packers had the ball for about 36 minutes.
And
the Giants climbed uphill the whole night.
That's all due to running the ball.
That's it. And that's why Eddie Lacy was really big in that game. He had 77 yards in the first half, finished with like 84.
Yep. But when you run the ball and you're moving it, all of a sudden, people got to cut us, you know, safety's got to creep up.
And if you just heard before your phone call, the numbers that I went into as to where these teams stand in terms of the running game, it should tell you, I think the Giants can be balanced. I think there's absolutely an opportunity for them to run the ball.
I think it's an opportunity for them to run the ball. And I think people are I want to win the game more than have balance. If there's a glaring deficiency in something, attack the deficiency. If I'm standing on the field, I'm looking out and I was like, okay, well, Pauletino can't cover. I'm throwing as many passes as I can at Paul. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, both of these quarterbacks will do that, but yeah. I also do think that you talk about the balance because the balance alters the snap count, alters the time of possession, mm-hmm. helps your defense stay rested. Because that's the other thing in that game, Howard. The Giants' defense, they had busted their butts so hard early in that game. By the time it got to the end of the game and they needed that last stop, they just couldn't get it.
Okay, I'll give you some of that. You know, keeping the ball, you got to be able to go off the field. So the defense has a big chore.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers dinks and dunks, goes deep. I don't think the running game is going to be that effective. I just don't think that – I think Montgomery's been sliding by. But
yeah, I don't think he's that impressive.
He can't run between the tackles. I think we have good enough guys to stretch the play out to give a chance for people to come up. Even the cornerbacks make tackles. They're not shying away from making a tackle. So it's going to be interesting.
Thank you, Ty. We'll get to one more phone call. I will say this, Howard. That game in October, which the Packers won 23-16, the Giants played much worse than the Packers did that day. There's no question. And yet, with 2.5 minutes to go, Starks fumbles the ball at his own 32-yard line. Kelvin Shepard has the thing bounce right in front of him, does not make the recovery. Starks falls back on the ball, and the Packers run out the clock. My point being, it's a 23-16 game. Giants get that turnover. Eli Manning's only 7 points down from sending it to overtime.
They were
not out of that game, despite playing poorly.
They were right there. Both teams didn't play that well. I think the Giants are playing stronger from a defensive standpoint going forward now. I think the Packers are playing a little bit better offensively.
Agreed.
It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be offense versus defense, and our offense can't turn the ball over.
Nugs, you're the last caller on today's program.
What's up, Nugs?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Hey.
Not much.
I just wanted to say that no matter what happens, I'm happy that we made the playoffs. I'm happy to see that my team is definitely a team on the rise instead of being a team on the decline for the last few years. I don't care how we win the game. I don't care if we win it through the air. I don't care if we win it, if we pound it. I remember that last time we went to Green Bay or maybe the first time against Brett Favre. I don't think we had that many yards on the ground, but I remember Brandon Jacobs running somebody over for the first play of the game and just setting a tone.
Yeah.
I just think that it's the playoffs. We are where we are. We're not gonna turn into a Super Smash Mouth ground and pound team, and I just hope that when the situational running times show up, that we can get the job done. Other than that, I'm ready to go to war with number 10. So I'll just say that and say thanks, you guys, for taking my call.
Thanks, Nugs. Nugs is kind of making a good statement. He's basically saying that don't look at it as there's going to be a brand new team come out there. You're going to have the same players. Can those players execute when there's number called on? I think that's going to be the big talk. It's can they do it? I think if you're running the ball, you do get some great advantages. I think the bigger advantage is there secondary. And I think the reason why you want the edge blitzers have so many sacks is because everybody's looking at that as, hey, look, the secondary is really bad. We got to try to throw it and get it down the field. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Howard, I want to ask you a question before we leave about the secondary. I've had so many people say to me, oh, Paul, you've been covering the team for so long. In fact, Joe and Evan on The Fan this morning asked me the same question. They wanted to know, is this the best secondary I think the Giants have ever had? Now, I had a conversation with George Martin about this a couple of weeks back. George said he doesn't remember playing with one that was this good with the Giants. And I offered to him the 1990 secondary with Perry Williams, Mark Collins, and Everson Walls as the three corners.
Who are the Pro
Byron Bowl? Guyton, Greg Jackson, and Dave Dorson were the safeties.
Who are the Pro Bowlers?
Well, they did not. But they won a championship, and they shut down Jim Kelly's red gun attack.
I know, but that's why people are saying that. When you have Jack Rabbit, Pro Bowler player, when you have
Collins,
Landon
Pro
Collins,
Bowl, DRC all, former Pro Bowl,
Landon Collins, all pro.
Yeah.
DRC,
I understand it.
DRC's former Pro Bowler.
I understand
and
it.
And if he was an every down player, probably Pro Bowler. You got a first round draft pick, and Eli Apple is the other guy. It's a pretty strong.
I understand
guy.
It. Yeah. I mean, I understand it. This secondary is yet to play a playoff game, though.
Yeah, but
so
let's see. And I think this is the thing that you have to think about because you're, you know, a giant kind of historian. And
you played on the team I'm talking about, though. Those guys were damn good.
Just hold on. They had 3 yards in the cloud of dust offense that most teams ran.
Right.
That's what we had. And the way that the team beat the Bills, they did something that they couldn't do today. They went out and said, okay, anytime they touch the ball, anytime they go up, we're going to crack them.
It was great.
And we're going to crack them hard. Well, most of those hits would be considered shots on defensive players. And
yeah.
If you take that part of the game out, the Giants don't win that game.
Agreed.
they don't get close.
Agreed.
So it's a big difference.
That'll do it for this edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're here every Monday to Friday from 12 o'clock noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Save the number. Dial us up next time, 201-939-4513. He is at Howard Cross on Twitter if you want to chat with him over the next couple of days, because I know he'll be preparing for that Green Bay trip. You got your gloves, your hat?
I got everything, baby. I got like warm. I got a battery operated jacket. I do.
And for real?
Oh yeah, and I'm going to wear it. I'm going to be plugged in.
You're gonna get the coals going there on the sideline too.
I'm just going to sit there. I'm going to check and see. Do I want to be mild? Do I want to be warm? Or do I want to be hot? That's what I'm going to do. I'll show you when I get there.
I am at Giants WFAN, and I'm not afraid of the cold. We'll see you next time, everybody.